Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for growing your faith. Good News Ministries will provide you with faith-building reflections, virtual retreats, prayer resources, and lots more. All of it is free. Visit GNM.org today.
Well, hey, friends, and welcome back to another episode of Lisa Handy and Friends. And I am super psyched for today's guest. Joining us this week on the podcast is Mark Hart, who is, as his bio says, a 25-year veteran of Catholic ministry, which means he started when he was two. Currently serving as executive vice president of Life Teen International. Mark is also, like me, a graduate of Our Lady's University, the University of Notre Dame. He is a best-selling author and editor of more books than I can count, and the host of amazing radio program and just so much great stuff going on, a devoted husband and a father of four, and his love for the gospel, for the new evangelization is on fire. Welcome, Mark Hart, to the podcast.
Lisa! Yay! How are you?
Yay, I'm happy. As we speak, Notre Dame is currently undefeated in the 2019 season, so we just won our first game. So we'll get that fangirl love out of the way first. No, I'm so psyched to have...
I already have gray hair, but not anymore.
So. Yeah, we'll leave the football chatter behind for a future podcast, because you're joining us today to talk about an amazing new project from Ascension Press, the 99, but I want to, before we dive into that... You know, just in case there's one person out there who's never heard of you before, share a little bit of your story and where you are on your journey right now in terms of the work that you're doing in your family life.
Oh, wow, you're so kind. I am, well, let's see here, my story. I'm a sinner. How much time we got? I'm way better at being a sinner than I am at being Catholic, but I'm working on it, work in progress. I'm very happily married to a saintly woman named Melanie. We have four kids, ranging in age from 17 down to 5. So we have high school, we have middle schoolers, we have kindergartner. It's a wonderful time to be alive. I'm basically just a glorified chauffeur, to be honest, transporting kids back and forth from school, from youth group, from sports and activities and things like that. I've been working in ministry. I'm in my 25th my 25th year in ministry. Most of my time is spent, as you said, I'm executive VP for Life Teen. So most of my time is spent with middle schoolers, high schoolers, youth ministers, priests, you know, college students. And I get to do a little bit of everything. It's a lot of fun. I get to write, and I get to produce, and I get to do radio, and I get to travel and speak. But really at the end of the day, really just kind of trying to figure out how to do it, quote unquote. How do you raise saints in this culture, and how do you try to live a holy Catholic life in this culture? And I say this culture, I mean modern culture, I mean church culture, parish culture. Just trying to have some fun and have some laughs along the way.
Well, you give lots of fun and laughs to other people. I think it's awesome that you have the age range of kids that you do, because there's nothing that will keep a 5-year-old in perspective like having a high schooler around, and vice versa. So that's definitely, and I love that you're the chauffeur too. That's super awesome. So I'm sure kind of working at Life Teen and having a teenager in the house will help you keep a check on things too. Things become
It really is fascinating, you know, how your perspective changes. You know, it was how I would speak to teens when I was in my 20s versus how I speak to them now, you know. And you know what's funny is that I know a lot of people, you said teenagers, and they roll their eyes like, oh, good Lord, I don't have the energy. If you say middle schoolers, they say, oh, good Lord, I really don't have the energy. I just love them. I love being around, you know, the young church. I think they're the last cross-section of culture who's not full of it. and if you are, they'll tell you. You know what I mean? But I just think it's anybody, I'll say this, it's not, evangelization is never easy. And catechesis is never easy. But it's easy when you're just dealing with a room full of adults at the church who are really drinking the Kool-Aid and want to be there and they want to grow in their faith. And that's great. That's not tricky. What's tricky is standing in a room of kids who don't want to be there, or kids who are forced to go to confirmation, or, you know, kids who are uncomfortable in their own bodies because they're just, because they're going through a lot of change and a lot of hormones they're dealing with. And, you know, getting that group of people to not only just to believe in the reality of God and the existence of God, but in the existence of a God who loves them and who knows them and who desires a relationship with them, that is tricky. You know, it's not hard to talk in big theological ways. You know, we as Catholics are so famous. You know, we're infamous for writing blogs that answer questions that no one's asking. And we use 7,000 words when 70 will do. So it's not hard to speak in those big ways. What's hard is to boil down the reality of God's love and the depths of the Catholic faith in a way that even a moderately interested teenager could understand it.
Well, that proving ground has probably equipped you well for this project that we're here to talk about today, which is the brand new project from Ascension Press called the 99. And I'm just so curious to have you give us an overview about this and let us know, you know, what is involved here and how it can bless not only us, but the church as well.
Sure. Well, that's the hope. So I was contacted by Ascension Press, a few years ago now, probably 3 years ago now. I've done different studies with them. I did some teen and young adult offshoots of Jeff Caven's famous Great Adventure Bible study with the Bible timeline. So I did studies on salvation history and Matthew and Acts and Revelation. And I did a Bible timeline, a salvation history timeline for middle schoolers. And then I was able to produce one on the Mass called Alteration. So I've been down this road with Ascension several times, and I've always enjoyed working with them. They do great work, really high quality work cinematically, just production wise. The materials are always top notch, and I really appreciate that about them. So when they came, they said, "Hey, we want to do something for the parish, a wider audience." And they said, "You've traveled the country, you've traveled the world. You know, how would you help a parish? How would you equip them, empower them to do a better job at evangelization?" You know, because I think a lot of times, Lisa, your parishes, it's not that they don't want to evangelize. I think sometimes the parish just says, "Look, we don't have the resource," which means we don't have the money, right?
Yeah.
Or the word evangelization is a misnomer. It has a bad negative connotation. People think that they start thinking of soapboxes and bullhorns, or they think about going door to door and ringing doorbells. And Catholics say, "That's just not my thing," right? "I'm not going to do that." Other times, you know, you'll have Catholics, you'll have people in the parish who maybe want to evangelize, but, you know, maybe their faith is very personal. They've never been taught how to share their faith, right?
Or they think they're not holy enough to share their faith.
Right, exactly. Who am I to say this? Who am I to invite someone? You know, and then we come across as self-righteous or holier than thou. You have Catholics who take great pride in their faith, but you know, honestly, let's be honest. They've read the headlines, you know, and they're like, "Hey, this is not the time to be public about my Catholicism. I'm embarrassed. I'm angry." And those are all valid things. But the reality is that our Lord, you know, he said I to go and baptize the nations, you know, that we're called to be fishers of men, not keepers of the aquarium. So how do you and I, and how does just the average Catholic who puts their head down and goes to work and lives a good life, a noble life, and trying to live a virtuous life, trying to raise kids, trying to have a holy marriage, trying to discern God's will, you know, Catholics of all ages, how do we do a better job at telling people about this guy, Jesus, about, you know, because we all need Jesus. We all need his mercy. John Paul II said that without Christ, we remain an unsolvable riddle. You know, so when they came and said, "Mark, how would you approach this?" And they really gave me a blank canvas. And so I really started praying. And I thought all about all the different kinds of parishes that I've seen and visited over the world, but especially over the country the last 20, 25 years. And, you know, what they all have in common is this desire, this energy, but there's usually sort of a lack of one cohesive vision, right, on a parish level. Or maybe a parish gets a vision, but then all of a sudden the pastor gets switched, you know, or key people fall in and out. So I thought, you know, first and foremost, it can't be a magic bullet. There's not one magic bullet. There's not one subscription, not one resource you buy. And that's what we're usually looking for as Catholics. We're looking for the 7-minute abs. You know, what's the fastest way I can get more people in the pews with the least amount of money and work? And I'm saying, you know what? I don't think there is a magic bullet. I think it has to have multiple levels. And that's what the 99 is. It's more of a system and a strategy to empower a parish than it is just a resource you buy. So the first part of the 99 is the 99 Masterclass experience. And this is 18 separate sessions that we've created, original videos of myself and several different presenters, and but also also PDFs that have an actual meeting outline. So this is when you would get not just father, not just people who work full-time at the parish or part-time at the parish. This is where you get anyone who's really in the boat, right? People who are excited about the parish, they're excited about the gospel, excited about their faith, the ones who show up to everything, right? Those ones who have influence in the community, they're networked in the community. You get them together. You can meet for as many of the master classes or as few as you want, but it really walks people through, okay, here's how we're going to create a vision for our parish, because every parish is different, right? We're one church, but parishes are very different. And that means different culturally. That means different economically, socially. You say, how do we, as this group of influencers, whether we're paid or unpaid, how do we get on the same page? How do we present a vision to the parish? How do we reignite that excitement again for the gospel? How do I formulate my own testimony? How do I share the faith? Who are the people we want to reach out to? So the mini masterclasses are designed to really empower and get people on the same page. And this is especially effective for people who sit in the pews and they're saying, I want more for my parish. Not just I want more from my parish, I want more for my parish.
Right.
But maybe they're working full time, you know, in corporate jobs, in secular jobs, and they don't feel like they have any kind of influence. This is not where you say to Father, hey, Father, you know, you go do it. But this is where, you know, instead of going to the priest and saying, hey, we need more of this, we need more of that, this is where people in the pews can say, hey, this is where I can help. This is where I can take my expertise or my work experience, my passion for the faith, and plug it in somewhere in a thoughtful way, in a strategic way. So that's the first part. And you can cast a vision, and you prepare people, and you prepare all your ministry heads to be able to put out this great invitation to the second component of the 99, which is called the 99 Experience. Now, Lisa, you've been to parish missions many times in your life, I'm sure. And what you typically see, and I think anybody listening typically sees at a parish mission, is a parish will spend an outrageous amount of money usually to bring in either a well-known Catholic evangelist or speaker, or some really holy priest or religious or someone maybe like, I mean, senior, but they'll bring these people in, and it's typically you see the same person get up and they speak at all the masses and they beg people to come to the mission, right? Usually a 3-night mission. And usually the same cast of characters show up. And I mean, I've done missions before. It's the same kind of thing. You get the same 100 people, same 50 people, same 200 people. But you get those people, and it's usually for 3 nights, and it's usually about an hour, hour and a half, and it's usually someone presenting and talking at the parish, or talking to the parishioners. And those are fine and good. But I started thinking, what if we did it differently? What if we created some amazing video components? And what if we actually built and constructed 2 or 3 nights, like an experiential thing, where I could get some of my good friends who are really, really talented presenters, the Father Mike Schmitzes of the world and Sister Miriams of the world and Leah Darrows and Bob Lesnevskis. So I was able to go and get friends who are talented storytellers and evangelists. And we sent our camera crew all over the country to shoot with them. And we created 3 nights of some original videos, 2 or 3 videos a night. But then you actually have live music at the parish, and you actually have some time to pray and to watch the videos, to process them, whether you process them quietly or maybe you process them with those around you or in small groups. It's set up several different ways based upon the comfort level of the people in the parish. But the beauty of the 99 experiences is that you can invite your friends and your coworkers and your neighbors, those who are Catholics, non-Catholics, maybe fallen away Catholics. You can invite your kids, your grandkids, maybe they do still go to Mass, maybe they don't. But you know that pressure, Lisa, like when you're trying to invite someone with you to Mass, but they've never been to Mass before, and they're not really sure when to stand or when to sit or when to kneel, and there's a pressure associated with that. I've certainly invited friends before to come to Catholic Mass, and the whole way to church, I'm thinking to myself, please, don't let the homily be terrible. Please let the choir be on key. Please don't let it be the Sunday of the bishop's appeal when they beg for money. It's the Sermon on the Mount. You know, please, and I'm praying, you know, or if you invite them to Christmas or Easter. And those are, and certainly we should be inviting people to Mass. It's the greatest thing we do as a source and summit. But it's high pressure. It's a lot of pressure on the preaching and on the music, on the hospitality or lack thereof. Pressure on you to be able to explain to somebody what's going on, but then you can't really explain in the context and during the liturgy. The 99 Experience gives you an opportunity to invite those people in your life who you want to re-engage in the faith or to engage in the faith for the first time, or even who are in the faith, but maybe they just need that shot in the arm to go deeper, to stop and sort of reassess, where am I with God and with His church? And these three nights and 99 experience, they have a little bit of everything. They have that moment of intentional hospitality where you can actually introduce people to other people at the church, make people comfortable in the parish hall.
Know the names of the people sitting near you.
The surroundings. Yes, because it is. If you've ever been, or if you haven't been in a long time, or if God forbid you left the church because someone hurt you in something that they said or did, or you had a negative experience at parochial school, or whatever it is, if you've left the church, walking back through those doors can be very intimidating. And those of us that go all the time, we forget that sometimes. And we said, what would it look like if we create this experience with these videos and discussion or music where it's going to be just, it's going to be moving and answer some of these big questions. Do I really believe in God? You know, and do I really believe that Jesus Christ is God? And do I really believe that He instituted this church? And if so, what's my role in it? And what's my role in the big picture of life? So to answer some of those kinds of questions. That's the second component. And then the third component of the 99 is called the 99 Handbook. And it's actually a book that you can purchase, that the parish can purchase, a hand one to every family. And you can sit down on your own, you can sit down with your spouse, with your kids. If you get together with other families or other couples, you know, from the parish, you can do this as a book study, as a personal read. And in every chapter, it takes you a little bit deeper into those themes that were discussed in the 99 experience. And we get to dive a little bit deeper into the existence of God and into the reality of Jesus Christ and into the intentionality of the church and what our role is in it. And there are discussion questions built into every chapter where you can actually just sit over a cup of coffee, over a glass of wine with friends, with family, on your own, however you want to do it, just to be able to explore these themes more deeply and to be able to stop and press pause and just say, what is God? Who is God in my life? Is he really the center of my life? And I'll invite myself. As a Catholic, I found myself at Mass several years ago, and I was getting to Mass, Lisa. I was getting my kids there, usually late, but I was still getting a Mass, okay? And I found that I was sort of going through the motions. Like, I was in the parish physically, but I wasn't really at the Mass emotionally or mentally. And I started to see that my prayer life had become sort of ritualistic, but a little bit rote. And while I was still praying, and I think this is a trap that a lot of Catholics fall into. It's sort of like when you're married, but you stop dating, right? Mm-hmm. You just sort of become comfortable with your spouse, but you're not really like seeking that greater depth, that greater holiness. You're just sort of in survival mode. You're going through the motions. I was in that same kind of thing in my relationship with God. I was making it to Mass. I was praying before meals. I'd make it to confession here and there. I'd pray at the end of the day. But I wasn't really waking up and saying to the Lord, what do you desire for me today? I wasn't waking up and giving the Holy Spirit permission to just wreck my plans and lead me where the Spirit wanted to lead me. And all of a sudden it started to hit me that I was really going through the motions. And that's when I had to stop and ask myself, am I a Catholic because this is the way I come to know Christ most intimately and because I desire to be with God forever? Or am I a Catholic because that's the way I was raised and because that's what I've known to believe? And my hope is that the 99, because it has different tiers and different levels and different experiential moments, can help all of us, whether we're going to Mass or haven't been to Mass in a long time, sort of shake us out of that redundancy, that treadmill of life where we're just surviving, where we're just breathing, and help us to really live again.
It's so beautiful. Let me ask you about the origin of the name of this project, the 99. Is that a reference to something in particular?
Well, the famous parable of the shepherd who leaves the 99 to go after the one. And as I was praying about it, it really hit me that, you know what, I really consider myself one of the 99. I was the one going to Mass. I'm in the boat. I give in the basket. I send my kids to Catholic school. I'm one of the 99. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm in the boat. I know the shepherd's voice. But when I had that moment I was just describing, I realized, you know what, just because I believe and I was sort of in the Catholic boat, it doesn't mean that I was pursuing the Lord with my heart. If anything, I think my heart was sort of running. And, you know, conversion is not a one-time thing. Conversion is a daily thing. That daily Christ calls us to die to ourselves, to live in Him. And I realized I'd fallen into this trap of thinking, oh, I'm going to church. Just I'm taking my kids to church. I'm one of the 99. When the reality was, I wasn't seeking God's will in my life. I wasn't seeking the Lord. I was seeking myself a lot of the time. I was the one that was running. And when I realized that, and I let the Lord get His arms around me again, and I try to renew that relationship with God and start walking with Him more intentionally every day, that all of a sudden I started to realize, okay, it's when we're in that right relationship and we can really hear the Good Shepherd's voice and we're praying every day, all of a sudden we wake up with a different mentality. Now I wake up with a mission mentality. Now I wake up and I say, I can't wait to see who the Lord puts in my path today. you know, from the barista who hands you coffee to the person who's bagging your groceries, you know, I can't wait to see who the Lord puts in my path today, because the Lord's going to put someone in your path every day who doesn't need you, but who desperately needs Christ in you. And when we wake up with that mentality, now I realize I am the one who's constantly going running. I am the one who's needing constant conversion. And when I realize that, now I can go help find the next one. I can now work with the Lord to go find that next one who's running, the next one who needs him, and try and bring that person into the sheepfold, into the 99.
So, Mark, let's say somebody out there is listening and they're like, this is something our parish really needs, but they're not on parish council, or they're not even maybe like in active ministry. What would you suggest to them as far as how to kind of make this happen on a grassroots level at their parish?
Well, I'll say I have at least 30 or 40 priests in my phone, like, you know, on my contact list. I mean, I talk to priests all the time. Most of my closest friends are priests. But one thing I'll tell you, and a lot of people listening might know this, but they might not. The one thing that a pastor does not want you to bring them is a problem. They don't want you to bring them a problem or more work, right, or a big bill. Those are not things that pastors are looking for. They have enough bills they're trying to cover. They don't want them for more work. Okay, they already feel understaffed. And most people, when they call Father, they're calling about a problem. But if you walk in and say, Father, I'm not here to be part of the problem. I want to be part of the solution. Right now you have their interest. Now you actually have their ear. And I'd say if someone really wants this for their parish, we put the price point really low. This is not going to cost thousands of dollars. It's barely going to cost a couple hundred dollars. But to be able to say, I want to do this for the parish. I'm going to make this as a tithe, Father. I want to do this, and I want to help you rally people together. I want us to try this. And I want to help you do this, because this is not on Father. The reason, the whole idea behind the master class, behind the experience and event, is that Father doesn't have to do it. He can be as involved or uninvolved as he wants to be. But this is something where we can, as grassroots in the pews, we can actually do this together, side by side. And I'd say if you go to evangelization.com and you click on the link for the 99, you can actually, if you pre-order it, because it's up for pre-order right now, it'll ship out in a couple weeks, in the mid-September. But you can actually view all of the videos, all the masterclass videos, all the videos of the 99 Experience the minute you pre-order it. You can download a sample chapter of the handbook. You can see the way the whole system works. And this is what parishes all over the country are already doing. So they're already looking at the videos. They're already formulating plans and times, that kind of a thing. Hey, we're going to do this during Advent this year, you know, and really make it a point to, you know, instead of an Advent mission, we do this kind of mission and get people back for Christmas. Hey, we're going to do this as we're launching our fall program. So, hey, we're going to do this in the spring, you know, before we head into Lent, or during Easter. So people are already kind of formulating that. But what's really neat and what's cool for me is to hear the feedback from the people who have seen the videos or who have read through some of the materials. And they're so excited because the tone is so down to earth. This is not one of those lofty, yeah, you know, the big, we love our big words in the Catholic Church and the theology, and there is a theology there, but we're not using all that churchy nomenclature that would normally turn off or confuse people that we want to bring with us. So if someone is wanting this for their parish, go to evangelization.com. You can watch the videos. You can see how high quality they are, and you can actually go in to Father or to someone at the parish office and say, let's do this as a parish, you know, and really the price point is so low that it really allows someone just to say, hey, I'm going to do this, you know, as part of my tithe, or a couple of us can get together and we're going to just kind of go in on this together and we're going to make this happen and not wait for a parish staff who's probably already taxed and already a little bit overextended to go try and do one more thing, if that makes sense.
It does. And I love that this is something that we can take, you know, as members of a parish and be proactive. You know, maybe you sit around yourself in mass each week and wonder, I'm a front of the church sitter because I get distracted. So I make myself sit like in one of the front pews. And I always wonder, like, why is it so full in the back of the church? And why isn't there anybody up here around me? And I mean, just those thoughts that we have about why, you know, the things that maybe aren't the way that we would want them to be in our parish or in our archdiocese or diocese, if this gives us the ability to take some ownership over making church be more the place that we desire, you know, it to be all 7 days of the week, not just for that 1 hour on Sunday, but the home that we want, you know, the community that we're looking to build. I love it. Have you had any kind of like beta parishes that have tested it?
Yeah, we've had a few different parishes. We didn't have everything complete, so we were able to give them portions of the master class. We were able to give them elements of the videos, and they've actually shown the videos and had I guess you say some sort of focus groups, uh-huh. if that makes sense. And the response has been really overwhelmingly positive. And one of the things we did was to make sure that we didn't just stack the deck and say, okay, get all the people who are already in the boat, who are already drinking the Catholic Kool-Aid, let's get them to come in and give us a thumbs up. No, we really, really encouraged it. We brought in different age groups, everywhere from more mature teens and young adults through boomers, you know, through Gen X, millennials, boomers. And what's really been great is that the themes are broad enough and the tone is transparent and personal enough. And the power of the testimonies, as I said, I mean, people like Father Mike Schmitz and Leah Darrow and Sister Miriam Heidelman, their testimonies, their stories, their witness, the way they share what God's doing in their life. I mean, it really does transcend age groups and culture. And the response has been so overwhelming. I actually had one priest, and you know, he messaged me. I mean, I've never met him before. He said, you know, our parish, we volunteered to do a focus group to show some of the videos. And he says, I went from being moderately interested in doing this to ecstatic to share these videos and to share this experience with my parish. Thank you so much for the work. And it was so humbling to get that, you know, because this is not some, this is a newly ordained as a young guy. No, he's been a priest for over 30 years, you know. But again, it's people who have that passion about their faith and are just looking for new expressions, new ways to express it and to share it with people. Because it's not that we're lacking the theology as a church. Oftentimes it's that we're lacking the strategy. You know, we're lacking the vision. We're lacking a way to get everybody on the same page. And it's not just Father's job to get people to church. It's not just a parish staff's job. You know, we have to look at ourselves in the pews as we're the paramedics. We're the ones that have access to our friends and family and neighbors and coworkers who maybe have left the church, fallen away, or never been invited to begin with. We're the paramedics who get them into, you know, the ER. You know, the Father is acting in the person of Christ. He's the divine physician, but he's not the one that has to go out on the streets and bring them. We are. The faithful are. And especially right now, in the culture of the church and the climate of the church, we have to remember that the church, though human, you know, like, yes, very, very human in a lot of places, we've seen the frailty and the sin of humanity. The church is also still divine, just like Jesus, human and divine. The church is also divine in her teaching. And we have to remember that what the church offers in the sanctuary, what the church offers in the confessional, cannot be found anywhere else in creation. That we actually have access to the God of the universe himself on that altar. We have access to unlimited mercy in that confessional. And that is really good news that we have to stop being so bashful about.
Well, or apologetic in the wrong sense of the word.
Exactly,
yeah.
Right?
And well, I think, friends, when you go over and check out evangelization.com and take a look at the materials for the 99, you're going to see a cast of, I don't want to even call them presenters. It's like a cast of people who will accompany you on this journey that look like you, different ages, different ethnicities, different vocations and stages in life. But what they share is this common passion for the gospel and also a great sense of joy about what they have to share. And that doesn't mean that they're perfect or that their journey has been perfect. Many of them have very interesting journeys. But I think that the crew that you've assembled, Mark, and the voices that we'll hear in this are people, you know, you want to spend time with them. You want your journey to look more like theirs, and they're going to give you the tools to equip the people you love most to walk that way. So I'm really excited about this. So Mark, can I ask you one non-99 related question?
Please.
I'm just wondering if there's anything else that you're working on that we should have on our radar, or any upcoming talks that you can tell us about where you'll be at this fall.
Gosh, you know, I would love to. I'm bouncing all over the place this fall. I'm going to be between Labor Day and Christmas. I'm going to be in, I think, 18 different states. Between those holidays. So
pray for Mark's
depending
flight
on when
connections.
Coming up, exactly. Oh, please do. Yes, please do. No, I'm very excited. I actually just finished, my wife Melanie and I just finished this fun little booklet that's coming out with Word Among Us Press. It'll be coming out this fall. It's called Getting More Out of Your Marriage. And it's five sort of mini Bible study kind of sessions where we share some stories and just kind of unpack some hard life learned lessons that we've gone through in our own relationship, and we have some kind of discussion questions and some prayer experiences. It's a really fun little book that I've been editing this series of Word Among Us for a couple of years now. It's called the Something More series. So it's cool. You actually can go online for free and watch videos that accompany each session. And you can watch those on their website. And then I just did Getting More Out of the Mass, Getting More Out of the Eucharist, Getting More Out of Confession, Getting More Out of Prayer. And this is the latest, is Getting More Out of Your Marriage. So I'm excited about that. We also have one coming out. I just edited, called Getting More Out of First Communion. And that's for parents who are going to be walking with and preparing their kids to receive the sacrament for the first time. So both of those are coming out with Word Among Us this fall. Those are exciting. And right now, Melanie and I are working on a book for the family. For Catholic families, on just trying to raise Catholic kids, that'll be coming out next year. But a lot of fun stuff going on right now.
That's
really
awesome.
Really excited.
Is there sort of one place that people can best keep up with everything you have going on?
Yeah, if you go to BibleGeek.com, that's BibleGeek, B-I-B-L-E-G-E-E-K, .com. That's usually where I sort of put the most of the updates. That you can find links to my Facebook, my Twitter, my Instagram, all kinds of free videos, links to my podcast. And then just whatever new resources are coming out. This is sort of a good home base to kind of keep people in the know, because you just never know what's in the hopper.
Yeah. And if you're not already following Mark on Twitter, what are you doing? You got to be following him. He's so awesome. So LT_BibleGeek, right? If I need a smile on Twitter, I just go to you, Mark, because when the hijinks of Twitter are getting me down, I come over and look at your feed and it makes me smile.
At LT_TheBibleGeek. Or just go to BibleGeek.com and just scroll down. But Lisa, we just need to hang out more. You're one of my favorite people. I'm so thankful for who you are, for all you do for the church. I can't keep up with you. Every time I turn around, you're in some other corner of the world doing something amazing. I'm like, well, I want to release this. Oh, she's walking the Camino. Oh, hey, what do you know?
I'm spending a lot of time in Gulfport, Mississippi this season of my life. So with my parents. And, you know, the great thing, Mark, about our friendship, I think, and today I've been so blessed to talk with a few friends for podcast episodes that our listeners are going to be listening to. But I'm just reminded that, you know, this work that we do is such a gift. And one of the greatest gifts is the gift of friendship that comes from loving Jesus and wanting to share him with others. So that's an awesome blessing to have, to be co-workers in this vineyard together. And that's what you're really inviting people to with the 99, is to take up their part of this and, you know, not to see it as a burden, but to see it as a joy and a gift.
Well, I'll tell you what, God forbid we ever lose sight of the privilege that it is to get to toil in the vineyard. You know, yeah, working in the vineyard of the Lord, it's tiring, and there's never enough laborers. The ones who do show up too late, and they're getting paid the same. We're all angry about it. No, honestly, it's not easy. It's not easy work, but it's only a labor when we forget what a privilege it is. I mean, the fact that we get to talk about the Lord, that we get to share his story and his mercy, that's a huge privilege. And I think sometimes you forget that with privilege is blessing, but with privilege and blessing comes sacrifice.
Absolutely. So friends, we're going to have links in our show notes for everything that we've talked about today. Just head over to lisahendy.com to get a hold of those. Mark, any kind of closing thoughts before we let you get on with the rest of your day?
I just kind of a closing thought of inspiration. I think there's probably a lot of people listening who, one of the ways the devil gets in the most is when he attacks our joy. And I think it's obvious we can see those big spiritual attacks, you know what I mean? Those seasons where everything's going wrong, that's a spiritual attack. But I think sometimes we forget the subtlest attack from the evil one is to try and steal our joy. And steal our joy if in our marriages and in our families and in our friendships and in our work. Like, I think, you know, Mother Teresa said, joy is the net by which we catch souls, you know? And Nehemiah 8 tells us that the joy of the Lord will be my strength. And I really, really just want to just affirm about it and say, you know what? If you're not getting attacked, it probably means you're not doing anything worth attacking, right? it's just part of, you know, I start to worry when I'm not going through a spiritual attack, you know, because it's not about me. But you know what? Like, at the end of the day, we know the final score. We know who won. And if the Lord is with us, who can be against us? You know, so I think I just want to encourage you, if you're down because, gosh, my kids stopped going to church or my grandkids did, you only fail when you stop praying. You know, so just keep praying and just be consistent in your witness and in your unshakable faith and in your joy, you know, and if we keep pushing forward and just keep trusting in the Lord and keep putting that smile on our face, even when things aren't going perfectly, knowing that the Lord is with us and that he goes before us and he'll fight the battle for us. If we can do that, then people are going to do what St. Peter said in 1 Peter. He says, be prepared, because people are going to come to you seeking the source of your peace, seeking the source of your hope. Be prepared. And that's a huge presupposition. That means that we're living in such a way that people look at us and say, you're different. You're not like everybody else. I mean, I don't know how you keep your perspective with this culture and this world and this church the way it is, but you're different. So tell me what the source is, you know? And if we're living that way, when people come to us, it makes evangelization, sharing the gospel, it just makes life a lot easier. So just do not lose your joy.
Amen. Always be ready. 1 Peter 3:15. Yeah.
Show up.
Those are three words. I can't tell you the rest of the verse, but I got those three because I need them. So, Mark, such a joy to have you on and just keep up the great work and just know that you and Melanie and the kids are in my prayers and your entire family and just keep going. And let's do this again soon, whenever the next awesome project comes down the line. But friends, definitely check out the 99 from Ascension Press at evangelization.com. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Lisa. Love you.
Well, friends, that is it for this week's episode of the podcast. I want to say a huge thank you to my friends at Breadbox Media for helping with the production of this podcast. Definitely head over there to check out lots of other great shows. I want to hear from you on social media at Lisa Hendy, or come on over to lisahendy.com for the links that we've talked about today. Until next time, have a super awesome week, friends. God bless.
I'm Father Dwight Longenecker. I hope you've enjoyed listening to some of my podcasts here at Breadbox Media, but today I'm speaking to you about a different opportunity. In September 2020, I'll be leading a fantastic pilgrimage cruise from Rome to the Holy Land, and then on the way back, stopping at the cities of St. Paul, Ephesus, Athens, Corinth, and more. While we're at sea, I'll be lecturing on the Gospels, history or mystery. When we're on land, I'll invite you to join me as we visit all of the holy sites, celebrating Mass, worshiping together, and having a wonderful time of fellowship. If you'd like to know more about this pilgrimage cruise, go to my website, dwightlongenecker.com. Go to the right sidebar, and you'll see a picture there, which invites you to get more information. Go to my website, dwightlongenecker.com, right sidebar, click on the picture of the cruise ship, and you'll get all the information you need. Alternatively, you can call the company that's organizing the tour at 800-247-0017. 800-247-0017. Ask for Father Longenecker's Cruise to the Holy Land. Thanks for listening.
Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.